are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers pre-draft edition. We are one day away. It is a Winky Wednesday. My guest today is Mr. Nick Winkler. I want to remind everybody before I bring Nick on to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are on Google Play. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That is the best place to get a hold of me and get involved in any of these mailbag segments. We're going to hit some mailbag questions today. Or email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And a big reminder about the live NFL Draft podcast, Facebook Live. We're jumping into the video side of things here on Locked On 49ers. With gentlemen from 4th and 9, that's going to be live draft night from about 4:30 p.m. on through the first round. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And but before we get to the draft, we got to do the mock draft. And today we're on pick number 9. And our good friend, Mr. Nick Winkler, is jumping in to pick for the 49ers at pick 9.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Well, I mean, man, you got me all nervous about this podcast. It's our broadcast coming up. You're talking about jumping into video, man. Oh. We got into radio for a reason. Well, we got faces for radio over here.
I did. You were paid to be on TV at one point in time. Don't forget
about
that.
Long time ago.
Can't believe it.
That was pre-kids. I gained a little bit of weight.
You're dead, as have we all. It's almost here.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a good time, man. I'm really looking forward to getting out there. Hopefully some people can make it out and, you know, shoot the poop with us, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun live show. We're going to have all kinds of fun with Crocker and Dylan DeSimone. We did a little dry run last Thursday, and that was a lot of fun, and a lot of people tuned in and asked questions. And we're going to be breaking down every pick, not just the 49ers, but a nice little 49ers focus that you can't get when you're watching the big broadcast on ESPN or NFL Network or wherever you like to watch the draft. So you can tune in to our Facebook Live and get the 49ers twist on things. So it should be a lot of fun. And if you're around, yeah, come down, have a beer with us. It's going to be a fun time. I can't wait.
Yeah, you should tell everybody about the new mock draft thing you set up.
Oh, yeah. And I sent out a link on Facebook and on Twitter. Come join my Locked On 49ers mock draft group, NFL.com. Just search for Locked On 49ers and you'll see my group and you can enter that contest and just put your mock draft in there and we'll have fun. We'll see who has the best, most accurate mock draft at the end of the first round on Friday or on Thursday night. Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm going to dominate.
Yeah, of course you are. We're all going to be bad. That's the thing. Like when you get 8 picks right, that's like really good.
Yeah.
That's one of the crazy things about the draft. We'll get to the mock draft here in 1 second, but there's so much groupthink goes into this.
Yeah.
And then every year draft night comes and the picks start happening and you're like, oh yeah. There's 32 teams with 32 different draft boards, and all those rumors we heard, those weren't real because no GM in the world is going to actually tell you what they're about to do.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, too, where it's like you got this plan in place, and you're like, this is what we're going to, you know, you say you're the Giants at 2. You're like, this is what we're going to do, and then who knows what happens in front of you, and that may just mess everything up for you, and just, you know, and it just continues on down the line. Everybody who's has this plan in place, this is what we're going to do. It never turns out that way.
Yep. Goes right out the window.
Yeah. And that's fun, man. That's why we love it.
That's why it's fun. It's unpredictable and it's weird. And then half of these guys are going to suck anyways.
Yeah, right.
You start penciling
like,
him in.
What are we thinking?
10-year starter. You're like, okay, scratch that out. 0-year starter. Never mind. Let's do it again next year. Oh, man. That's, yeah, it's inexact science for sure, which is why I love doing the shadow draft, because when I literally draft better than the real 49ers GM, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, this is not the easiest thing in the world to draft good players and hit on that many players. And there's so many factors that go into it with injuries that can happen in a career, off-field stuff that we know too much about following the 49ers, coaching, you know, there's been players I bet that could have been Hall of Fame players that had a terrible career because they were drafted into the wrong situation.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. And don't sell yourself short, man. You're looking at the same tape they are. All right.
That's true. Different angles sometimes.
Yeah.
They get the good end zone angle. I got to look at the broadcast angle.
There you go. Yes, you're even handcuffed even more than you're doing.
I don't have the inside information. I don't get to sit across from the guys and learn about them personally. I don't get the medical information. Yeah, I'm handicapped here. A scouting department of one, man.
Oh, it's impressive.
But John Lynch looking much better as a GM so far. So that's the good thing for 49ers fans. No more Trent Baalke drafts.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Well, just even addressing the media, you know, he had his little thing the other day, and it just, you just love the candor. You love how he you know, he can tell he wants to do that too. It's just, that's his thing. He wants to be out there. He wants to be the face of this organization, and he's really doing a great job of it, man. It's such a far cry for what it's been that 49er fans have got to be in love just like I am.
I totally agree. And it makes you feel like the Reuben Foster thing was just, they kind of let it hang out there for a little bit. And he needed to address it. And even though he said what you thought he might be saying, just the fact that he actually said it, and you're like, okay, good. Okay, we know now that they're trying to get information. If they find that information that shows he struck a lady, he's gone. And that's it. Well, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at it from their standpoint, you know. I mean, I'm sure he's telling them that he didn't, you know. And so you got to give the guy a benefit of the doubt that you know, invested all this stuff in. He's a great football player. And if he didn't, you know, then yeah, you got to let the guy continue his career. But yeah, I mean, if he struck her at all, I mean, I'm glad they said it straight up too. Mm-hmm. You know, if he touched that woman, like, he's gone.
You're done.
And that's how it should be.
Absolutely. And then the latest I saw from Matt Barrows is that she hired a lawyer, which might indicate that she's not cooperating with the prosecution side.
Yeah, I saw that.
So as far as legally goes, I mean, that doesn't change what actually happened, but legally, right.
The prosecution
that
can still go forward without her.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. This knows, could last. Man. I mean, and this is not going to go away. It's not going to be something that's over very quickly.
When he still has the marijuana thing that's coming up, what, May 2nd or something?
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's
coming
up soon. Coming
up real soon. So who knows how that's even going to play out. There's probably a suspension coming with that. I mean, it's not looking good for the 2018 season.
So let's put it this way, Nick. When you're putting up your draft board here for the mock 49ers that you're about to pick for at number 9, you were going into it saying, I don't have Reuben Foster linebacker on my roster, right?
You have to. And when you listen to Monday's podcast and you hear Locked On Bears take Roquan Smith, you drop a what the f-
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one because he's a guy I really like right now for the 49ers. Okay, well, let's go through that. Let's go through.
All right.
Pick number 1, Cleveland Browns, as selected by Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns, Sam Darnold, quarterback out of USC. Not a big shocker there. New York Giants. This is where there's a couple of twists in this top 8. Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame, selected by Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants. Got no problem with Quentin Nelson, one of the best players in this draft, absolutely. The question there is, what do the Giants do? Quarterback, no quarterback, and then when they go no quarterback, which one of the top consensus 3 players do you pick, Nelson, Chubb, or Barkley, if you don't go quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm taking Nelson. He just seems like the kind of guy that's going to solidify your offensive line for years to come. You need that.
I mean, he is a guard, and I get that. The positional value isn't huge there, but I don't know if I've seen a prospect that's like that clean and that like, oh, yeah, this guy is going to be great.
Right.
New York Jets, Josh Rosen, quarterback out of UCLA, number 3 overall, selected by Locked On Jets host John Butchko. And then I think this is the biggest twist of the top 8. One of the players definitely the 49ers should be looking at pick number 9. That is Harold Landry, defensive end, pass rusher out of Boston College. He goes number 4 to the Cleveland Browns. Again, Jeff Lloyd picking there. Then the Denver Broncos select the 3rd quarterback so far, Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma. That was Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Browns. I sat in for the Colts and tried to drum up some trade interest because I think there is a 100% chance there will be at least one and possibly multiple trades in this top 10 of this draft, and could not get any bites there, could not get any nibbles with those phone calls. So Bradley Chubb, defensive end out of NC State, pretty easy selection for me there for the Colts at number 6. Then Trevor Sikkema joined me to select for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 7 was Derwin James, safety out of Florida State. Number 8, Roquan Smith, linebacker out of Georgia. Lauren Cox was the selector there for the Bears, host of Locked On Bears. And that brings us to pick number 9. And Mr. Nick Winkler. So before we get to the actual pick, and you're officially on the clock, what are you thinking here going in? What were you thinking before the picks just in front of the 49ers, and what are you thinking now?
Well, before this thing got started, you know, I was mentioning Harold Landry. You know, I thought this is a guy that can set the edge. You know, he can bend it, as you like to say, you know, and really get after the quarterback. And I talked about his confidence and how much I loved it. And how he's like, yeah, I'm not saying I'm the best player in the draft, but I believe I am. I just love that. He's just like, you have to believe that. You got to go in thinking that. And so, you know, episode 1, when Darnold goes off the board, he's also talking about 4. He's probably going to take Landry. And I was like, ah, come on, man. All right. And then, you know, we start hearing about all this this Reuben Foster stuff. And so clearly I'm thinking, oh, that's tough. Okay, I got to start looking at the linebackers and this and that. And you know me, man, heading into this season, in the offseason, I kept saying number one priority is cornerback. I really didn't like what was happening in the secondary last season. But yeah, I love the Richard Sherman signing. I love that he's in there mentoring guys already. And, you know, I like what Witherspoon's shown, you know, opposite him, and Ward can hop in there and be the nickelback. And you got to like what's happening back there with Tart. And it's just, there's a lot of good things that I see. Plus Eric Reed's still sitting out there, you know, and no one's really thrown any money at him. So it's very likely that he comes back and is a part of this 49er football team. So for me, it's really tricky. You know, you want to look at the linebackers, but now that Roquan Smith's off the board, it's like, you know, do you go with Edmonds? Do you go with the guy who's all upside? And, you know, you kind of need that starter right away if you're not looking at having Reuben Foster. So it just gets really tricky, man. So I don't like this draft. I really don't like the way it's turned out for me. I actually want to give a shout out. Who was it? Somebody on, I put out a thing on Twitter today saying, hey, what do you guys think? You know, what should I do? Here's what I've got going so far. And somebody said something along the lines of, like, I hate this draft. I really hope it doesn't turn out like this.
Well, it's kind of a nightmare scenario for sticking at nine. And even then, still, there's still players worthy of being selected there. So it goes to show that the 49ers can't really be in a bad spot here, because you're going to have a good player to select from. But just even from the good players you want to select from, the ones you really, really wanted are already gone. But it could be not the nightmare scenario if you get that phone call and the team that wants to trade up for one of the quarterbacks that's still left, and most likely Josh Allen in this case. And then it becomes maybe a bounty where you get a bunch of picks, move back, and still are able to get someone that you like from that same tier of players that you would have been selecting from at pick number nine. So that would be the ideal thing. So that would be the possibility here if it did go this way with the first eight picks. But in this scenario, we did not get that phone call. So you got to select here at number nine. So before you go, I'm going to be your director of scouting, and I'm going to give you some advice, and I'm just going to talk about a couple of guys.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah, because of course, you know, if the phone rings, I'm answering it.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
If it's the Bills at 12, hell yeah, let's talk. Let's do some business.
Yep, if someone is willing to pay just a little bit to come up a little bit, that's okay. Sure. Someone's willing to pay a lot to come up a lot, that's probably okay too.
Yeah, I mean, there's some blue chips out there, man. You know, still sitting on the board that just don't fit what the 49ers are trying to do right now.
So if you went to LockedOn49ers.com or have listened to the podcast, you know that I have two main tiers at the top of the draft. And those are the players I'm hoping the 49ers are choosing from at pick number nine. Tier one is just two players, Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson, both long gone. Tier number two is five players. So that's seven non-quarterbacks overall that I think the 49ers might be selecting from. Roquan Smith, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, Harold Landry, and Tremaine Edmonds. Three of those guys are gone. So the top player on that list, on my board that's still available, is Minkah Fitzpatrick, defensive back out of Alabama. He could be a starter at single high safety. He could start at strong safety. He can cover the slot. He could probably play some outside corner as a starter. Like, that's how good he is. Character high, hardworking guy, instinctive as hell. He's a coach's dream type of a player. So you almost can't miss on Minkah Fitzpatrick, which is what I love about him. And he threw down, you know, whatever, 4.4, 7.40. He's athletic enough. Not a crazy workout, but, you know, rock solid just across the board. And then, so that's the safe guy. And then, if you want to swing for the fences, the last guy of that group is Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker from Virginia Tech. He played more of a middle linebacker role in college, 6'4 and a half, 253 pounds, antennas for arms, 34 and a half inch long arms, I think. Just physically a freak. He's so fluid in space. He can run down ball carriers when he gets there. He's a really good wrap-up tackler. He can cover. I think his number one thing is that he could cover tight ends, and he has the length to not only, so, you know, a lot of the quick linebackers are smaller, but he's quick and can cover, but he's got the length to match up with longer, bigger tight ends.
Right.
So that's a pretty special ability in its own. The big problem with Edmonds, he's only 19 years old. How big is he going to grow? Is he going to be 265 pounds when he's 25? And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe you just play him at strong side linebacker the whole time, and you put him with the pass rush specialist coach that the 49ers hired this year. Put him with him for day one, and maybe he's an edge rushing maniac by the time, you know, he's 2 years into his NFL career, and he's even bigger, and he's got that length already, and then he's still athletic enough to, you know, cover the flats, cover some tight ends, be, you know, have some off-ball skills, and have the unique ability to also be a pass rusher, which would be the ideal player. I've called him a unicorn. He could be that perfect strong side linebacker, every down strong side linebacker, and could do anything you ask him to do out of that position. The downfall with him is instinctively he's not there as the middle linebacker.
Right.
And that's what I worry about, because he's a step slow to diagnose. Once he sees it, he can go get the guy, but he's a step slow to diagnose, gets sucked up into the trash, as they call it, into the line of scrimmage, and can't get through blockers. And so it's just, as far as right now, if you want a linebacker, someone that can jump in, play either middle linebacker, weak side linebacker, Roquan Smith is so far ahead of Tremaine Edmonds just because of the instincts. But when you look at maybe playing him at strong side linebacker with the ability to possibly play some inside as well, if he starts to develop a little bit more, he's still young, still 19, you know, maybe that development doesn't come with weight and size. It comes from the neck up, and he gets a lot more instinctive and, you know, and develops that side of things as a middle linebacker. It's a possibility. So those are the ups and downs with those players.
How about this? I'm getting a lot of Ward talk as well. People really want me to go after Denzel Ward here. So as director of player personnel, what can you tell me about him? He's not in that top tier for you, though, or that second tier.
Right. So the next two players that are at the beginning of the next tier are Saquon Barkley, and I had to put him at the top of this next tier just because he's so physically talented.
Right.
Even though I devalue, if you listen to the podcast, you know I hate running backs, basically. That's what people
say. Wait, what?
Why do you hate running backs so much? I just don't think you draft him that high. Even if he's great, it doesn't help your team as much as a good pass rusher or whatever. You know, that's
this is when you're hoping somebody falls in love with him and wants to trade up in the nine and get him.
If you were thinking Saquon Barkley here, Nick, and I know you like running backs.
I do.
I mean, if you love fantasy football, if you love Madden, if you love just having fun at the football game.
I do.
I mean, you like Barkley. You're like, yes, that would be so fun. And it would be. And he's a talented guy. Let me put it this way with Barkley. He might not even be the best pure running back in the draft when you're talking about running between the tackles. Maybe Darius Geis is, maybe, you know, Sony Michel or Nick Chubb. But he might be the best receiver in this draft. And I'm counting wide receivers. He's the best receiver in this draft because of the weapon he can be in the passing game. So if you look at it from that angle, is that a top 10 pick? And it is. And I think for a lot of teams it will be. And I think he'll be... I think that's one of the things that won't happen in this top eight is Barkley won't fall. I think he will go.
Right.
So I don't think we'll have to make that decision. In a lot of ways, he's similar to Jerick McKinnon. He's kind of rich man's
Jerick
McKinnon.
Very similar type of runner.
Yeah. So you know Kyle Shanahan's going to like that.
Right. But he just got a new toy in McKinnon.
But he already paid for that. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why he's not in that tier with the other guys. Denzel Ward. The other reason he's not there, I think for some teams he would be, and I just think he doesn't fit the profile. 180-something pounds, 5'10 and three quarters or whatever it is. He doesn't fit the profile. He doesn't. And if you want a player that can cover the slot, which is what Denzel Ward, I think you would want him to do if the 49ers draft him. He could play outside as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't, you know, he's not the ideal
fit. What about, you know, is it too much of a stretch to go after like Marcus Davenport or Leighton Vander Esch or even like a Cortland Sutton and try to go get that big bodied wide receiver?
Yeah, I saw Cortland Sutton as one of them. And I like Cortland Sutton, but he's at the very end of the next tier. He's a late first rounder for me, early second rounder. And so is Marcus Davenport. Marcus Davenport he's kind of like Tremaine Edmonds in that there's a lot of projection and you're hoping that those athletic traits can become this one thing. The difference between those two players is Tremaine Edmonds displays right now ability with a few things. Marcus Davenport has almost no right now ability.
Right.
He is not there. And I don't know if he can get there. He plays high. He's almost 6'6". He plays really high. He kind of like bends over at the waist. I've called him a goon. He moves like a goon. But he's fast and tall and like athletic. So
is that the guy you compared to like an alien trying to walk in the human body?
I remember saying that. It might have been him. I think I was talking about somebody else. But it's kind of that thing. It's like he doesn't move right, and especially in a short area. And the success he had was basically he was big brother bowling over little brother on his way to the quarterback
right
at a small school at Texas San Antonio. When he showed up at the Senior Bowl, it wasn't working for him. And so it's a long-term project, and that scares me with the top 10 pick. And he's going to go in the first round because he has that height, weight, speed. But I just think 9 is way too high for Marcus Davenport for me.
What about Van Der Esch?
I wasn't super impressed with Van Der Esch, and I think he's probably going to be a late first rounder, probably in that same range that Marcus will probably go first, Marcus Davenport. But Van Der Esch is good, just not great. I think he's got a similar skill set to Tremaine Edmonds, but just not as much of all those tools. So why not just get the better guy in Edmonds? That's right.
So let's say we're sitting here.
Van Der Esch is more instinctive, but I just think the upside of Tremaine Edmonds is there's a big gap there.
Mm-hmm. Let's say we're sitting here and the Atlanta Falcons call and they're like, hey, Julio Jones doesn't want to be a part of us anymore. He's still got 3 years left on his contract. Give us number 9 for Julio. Do you take it? Straight up.
That's hard.
Right?
I
take it.
I would have to give him a physical.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
I mean, which you would anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I would take it, and I would give him a physical because he's got a lot of injuries mounting.
But I mean, whew.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
The thought of him, in red and gold, man, that's something else.
I'd be fine with that, and then you spend the rest of your picks on some of these other needs you have.
I mean, he's still locked up for 3 more years at a pretty affordable rate. I mean, I think the reason he wants out is he wants more money. So, you know, the Niners have that. They could renegotiate. Right.
And that's the big difference in it would cost less both in picks and money than someone like Odell Beckham, you know.
Sure,
so that's why it makes a lot more sense. And Kyle Shanahan knows him, has used him. And
which is why I'm bringing this up at all.
Right. And what was it with him? There was something recently that came out in the last couple of days, and I've seen people talk about it on Twitter, but I didn't see the original report. There's like some smoke there.
He deleted all the Falcon stuff off of his Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, kind of saying something.
That's very interesting.
Right?
Huh.
Unhappy man. Yeah, because I guess he was upset that his average salary had dropped out of the top 5 or something, or the top 10. Like, he's still making a ton of money, but yeah, compared to what, you know, the new guys are starting to get, he's not in that category yet because he signed it in 2015 or something.
That's odd.
Yeah. No, it's definitely something. There's some smoke there. So that right now is my ideal scenario. That, or of course, somebody calls and wants to trade, you know, preferably the Bills or even somebody a little bit further back. You know, if we get a little bit of a bounty and drop back and do go after a guy like Ward or Davenport or Courtland Sutton or Van Der Esch, all the guys that I named. Yeah, so, man, this is really tough for me. I'm not going to lie to you. If I'm sitting here on the clock right now, it's going to be really hard for me not to go after Saquon Barkley. But, you know, there's that side of me that really says, you know, it's probably not the smartest pick for the 49ers this season. They did just get McKinnon, who's a very similar style runner. So if I'm sitting there and nobody wants to trade with me, you know, Dolphins at 11, Bills at 12, even the Cardinals, I'd be willing to let them come up and get Josh Allen. Like, cool. Yeah.
That would be awesome because I don't hate Josh Allen, but I just, he's got all the classic bust traits. So if you could ensure that one of your division rivals gets the bust quarterback that sets their franchise back and you get picks.
Awesome.
You get picks and on top of
by
it.
By taking a little bit of their drafts picks later. Yeah.
You get a next year's first along with this one, and then they only win 2 games because they put that bust of a quarterback in there. So you have a top 5 pick next year from them while your pick is at number 32, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to at least think of that as a possibility, right? And the Pats have their 2 first-round picks, but I don't think they're going to want to come up to 9 at that point. But, you know, there's always something out there that could probably be done. But if we're sitting there – and there's nothing, you know, nothing's coming our way and the clock's ticking down and we got to take somebody. Like I said, man, I'm pretty happy with what we got going on at safety and what we've done so far in the cornerback position in the offseason. And it's just, man, Reuben Foster has left such a gaping hole right now in the middle of that field that I know it's not his position, you know, right out of bed, but you're looking at a linebacker that had back-to-back 100-yard tackle seasons. At Virginia Tech, so I think you got to take Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, that's a fine pick. And that makes a ton of sense. And you mentioned the safety thing. And if this was one calendar year ago, it would have been Minka and the conversation's over.
Yeah, I wanted Adams last year too. I get it, man.
Yeah, same here. A lot of people wanted – I took Jamal Adams in the shadow draft. A lot of people liked Malik Hooker, and I get it. And then once they went through the first year in this scheme – and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, wait a second. We just had 4 starting caliber safeties on this team. One of them was a 7th round pick. It's not that hard to play safety in this scheme, obviously. So that was kind of overblown last year. And looking around the league at how much depth there is at safety, one of the reasons, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons that Eric Reed hasn't signed anywhere, there's not a ton of teams that are, like, most teams are kind of good at safety.
Yeah, and
it's not, it's not a high-profile position. So for that reason, I totally get it. And I want this draft to, like, ideally for the 49ers, an ideal draft is where they either move around or they stay and they the best player is not a safety. You know what I mean?
Like, it's Roquan Smith, right? Or Terrell Landry,
Roquan, or Chubb, Bradley or Nelson.
Chubb happens to fall,
right? Or you move back, and I think there's a chance. In fact, just looking at these players, and I think Tremaine Edmonds has a chance to surprise people and go really high because of that freakish athletic ability that he has. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to fall in love with that, and they're going to swing for the fence on it. But Roquan, slightly undersized for linebacker, he's not going to fit everybody. And same with Harold Landry. Some teams are going to see him as a part-time player.
Right.
Some teams aren't going to think he's big enough or stout enough to play defensive end, so they're going to view him only as a stand-up, sort of an edge rusher, so maybe just the 3-4 teams will like him. So there's a chance he falls
too. Quickly it can change, too. I mean, I feel like a month ago, you know, I'm looking at all mock drafts, and it's like Landry's going in the middle of the late first round. Mm-hmm. And now you're hearing, oh, he might jump into the top 10. It's just like, oh, yeah, who knows what's going to happen, man.
I would not be surprised at all if Landry was still on the board at pick, like, 20.
Yeah.
And I think he's the most likely of those to fall.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the teams that like him will really love him and be like, this is a difference-making edge-rushing player, which means he's got supreme value.
Yeah, I mean, with the NFL, how it's been going the draft the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I don't really see a scenario where four quarterbacks aren't already off the board. And Saquon Barkley, because it's an offensive-driven league, and people fall in love with that, and you need that quarterback to take you to the next level. And Barkley's such a difference maker that I feel like people will want to get him as well. So I think that it's going to look a lot different when the 49ers are on the clock sitting at 9 than what we got going on. But, you know, who knows? This could be the exact layout of the draft, you know, come Thursday.
That's what's crazy about the real NFL draft. It's always crazier than the craziest mock draft you saw. Like, it's going to blow people's minds.
This is super crazy. It's like, is it?
There's going to be a guy that goes in the top 10 that nobody even talked about. And there's going to be some, like, there's the A.J. Jenkins picks, that, you know, the guys that are everyone thinks is a third-round pick, and he goes in the late first round. So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. Back to the 49ers mock draft selection in this draft, though, Tremaine Edmonds. The reason, and I did a mock draft not too long ago just myself, and I did plug Tremaine Edmonds there to the 49ers at pick number 9. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the, because I talked about how I could maybe see him, and the way I would use him ideally is I'd plug him in at strong side linebacker and try to develop some pass rush skills and then take the mental side out of it as a read and react middle linebacker and give him a simpler assignment on the edge and then try to develop that, you know, that freakish physical ability that he has. But he played middle linebacker in college, and he's pretty good there too, you know. So I think for the 49ers, with the Foster stuff and the need for a pass rusher and with just the way that they've brought in players in free agency, they've kind of brought in a bunch of guys that can maybe play some Leo, and they've brought in a bunch of guys that can play linebacker, but they haven't really done anything with strong side linebacker, and it makes me think that they're kind of leaving that open.
Mm-hmm.
And Tremaine Edmonds, with that ability to play strong side or middle linebacker, is sort of a hedge for the team. So it's like, okay, we have a player with the sky's the limit talent-wise. He displays a lot of right now abilities, and he could fit multiple spots. So Foster comes back, he could play next to Foster, and we're golden. Foster's
Makes
gone
sense,
forever,
yeah.
He could play in place of Foster. So it's a bit of a hedge, and it's a high upside, you know, risk reward pick. And it's kind of in the same vein as last year's selection in Solomon Thomas, a player that's going to have to maybe change positions or play a little bit differently than he did in college, but they're going for the physical, you know, the physically impressive player, high character guy, and Tremaine Edmonds is all those things.
2 years in a row on this mock draft, I have taken a middle linebacker.
That's true.
It's going to be my thing. Like, the Niners like to get defensive linemen.
Yeah. I wonder how many felonies Tremaine Edmonds is going to face next year at this
time. Oh, man. Are you saying I'm jinxing him?
I'm sorry. That was a too soon joke. I apologize to you and everybody
that's
listening.
That's what Mark would say. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That was bad. We're pretty much out of time.
Sorry about the no mailbag. We got real in depth here. I love when you were breaking everybody down. I just wanted to ask you more questions.
Let's hit a couple of mailbag questions real quick.
Okay.
We can take
let's
a little bit long if you're cool.
Rapid fire.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. This is an email from Shannon. He says, hi, Brian and Nick, if this is a Winky Wednesday mailbag. And it is. This is my first time watching the draft as a UK fan. Prep is key as it starts at around midnight. That's weird. Why would they start the draft at midnight at the University of Kansas? That's odd. Oh, United Kingdom. Okay, I get it.
Right.
A couple of my teammates are coming over. Teammates? Is that like a drinking team or is that, do they play ball as well? I need more information there, Shannon. What kind of team you got going?
Follow-up email.
I've booked the Friday off work. That's weird. It's going to be midnight Friday where they're watching.
I love it. I love that you took the day off work.
Oh, you got to. I'm ordering pizza and I've got beer. But do you have any top draft tips for an amazing draft experience or any fun draft day games? Well, first of all, tune into our Facebook Live broadcast featuring myself, Nick, Dylan DeSimone, and Eric Crocker from 4th and 9. Also, I like for a drinking game, if you're talking drinking games here, everyone watching together do a mock draft. If someone gets the pick right, they pass out drinks. And if another person gets it right, they can't, you know, get a drink passed to them.
There you go. Also, a fun game is to sign up for the mock draft.
Oh, yeah. And you could do it by going to NFL.com and joining the Locked On 49ers group Predict the Pick mock draft that they have there.
If you want to get hammered, too, you can just drink anytime anybody boos the commissioner.
Right. Yeah. So you can do that like a buzzword thing. Like anytime any of the people that you're watching the draft, like every time Mel Kiper says upside, you got to drink. Or another buzzword. Oh, wow. Pick a buzzword. Yeah, it depends on how drunk you would be shit-faced if you
did that. Yeah, I mean, you could just have beer, you know, light beer.
Right. Just a drink of beer. Sand in the pants. You know, any like scouting terms that you're like, what does that mean?
We're going to say that a lot.
Yeah. So those would be some good ones. All right, let's move along to Kevin. He says, I should have asked this for the Tuesday pod, but why is Edmonds ranked top 10 and Rashad Evans isn't? That's a good question because we didn't talk about Rashawn Evans. He's a linebacker from Alabama, very good player. He says, I view Evans as an overall better linebacker. I feel he's an even talented as Roquan Smith, but the man is graded later in the first round. Why is that? And would you be upset if the Niners see him as a top 10 player? I mean, I wouldn't be completely upset by it. But again, it's like, you know, trade down, play the draft game, maximize your value, make value meet need. If you have the offers, you can't trade down without any offers. But I like Rashawn Evans. I don't think he's on Roquan Smith's level. And I think with Edmonds, it's just he's a unicorn. You don't have that physical talent come along all that often.
I'm always down to chase a unicorn.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see.
Plus, I think they might be a little gun shy with Alabama middle linebackers.
Oh, here we go. This is from James. I'm not going to read his whole question, but he has a nice comparison. He says, do you see Tremaine Edmonds becoming a present-day Julian Peterson?
Ooh.
That's actually a very good comparison that I didn't
think of. That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was such a Peterson guy.
Yeah, and I was a big fan of Peterson. I like that a lot. That's a good call, James.
James killing it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. From Andrew on Facebook, not knowing he would be one day the GOAT, and given his pre-draft numbers, if Jerry Rice came out this year, what round do you think he would be drafted in? He has key stats here. 40 time, 4.71, height, 6'2", small school wide receiver.
Undrafted,
yeah. Here we go. There's a couple things with Jerry for me with the Jerry Rice draft. Number one, I think it's an old wives' tale. I think it's a myth that he's actually ran a 40 that slow. Or maybe he did run slow on somebody's clock somewhere. But Gil Brandt, who's the old-time Cowboys GM for years and years and years, old-time personnel guy, I think he's on record as saying he had Jerry Rice at like 4.49 or something like that.
I believe it.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of this old wives' tale, oh, slow 40 guy, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice was not slow.
He ran away from everybody his whole career. He was 40 running away from guys, 40 years old.
Exactly.
And pre-ACL, he was ridiculous, just scampering away from
the quickest guy I've ever seen.
Awesome, taking slants to the house, so fun to watch. Yeah. But best trade up ever, the 49ers moved up that year in front of the Cowboys, who were about to draft Jerry Rice, to draft him, I think, number 16 overall. Got to be the best trade up ever, right? And Bill Walsh was the trade down guy. And the one time he trades up, boom, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, you fall in love with your guy, you got to go get him. I mean, Bears fans might argue that trading up to get Mitchell Trubisky might be the best trade up ever.
6'2 wide receiver went number 5 overall from, dude, Trubisky might, I would not have, I talked about on the Bears podcast when the Bears mock pick was up, I wouldn't be surprised if in the end, universally, last year's draft was way better. Trubisky,
Time will tell.
Mahomes, I like Mahomes better than Josh Allen for the big arm types. Sure. Deshaun Watson could be great. But anyways, talking about small school wide receivers, 6'2", one went top five last year. So
good call.
Yeah, Jerry Rice would go high, and he would time better because back then I don't think they even trained for the combine. And you know how he trains, so he would have that 40 time honed in.
Yeah, good call, man.
All right, that'll do it.
Wrap it up with the GOAT. I like it.
Yeah. Always finish with the GOAT. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Nick, thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, buddy. Yeah, excited.
The draft is here. I can't believe it.
Get that Michael's Pizza it's set up yet here. Or what?
Yeah. Eric Crocker is bringing Michael's Pizza from Sacramento.
Oh, man.
That's what he said. Anyways, I don't know. We'll see if he follows through. But yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. Everybody tune in. Facebook Live. Tell your friends. And tomorrow night, draft day. It's here.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Nick, thanks. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow with Mr. Matt Barrows doing the Draft Day Morning podcast with me. All right, talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.
Can't believe it. It's almost here.